Side two.
Oh, I love that vintage sound. You know, that's an example where tape hiss is a good thing. You know, when you're recording in the 80s and, say, the early 90s, you're always trying to get rid of tape hiss, but it's like, in some ways, you know, you listen to the 70s recordings we love so much, there's always that element, little hint of tape hiss.
Some more so than others.
Yes, but of course. Yeah. Oh, this section is awesome. This was a section from a song called Innocence Denied that was on Mudpie. And it was like this like long forgotten section. And I remember. I had cassette copies of this stuff. And I was like, oh, we gotta use this part because it never ended up on the record. And once we put it in here, I thought it sounded really, really cool.
Well, yeah, that's why the song itself made it on the album. I don't know why we didn't have this. It's one of the coolest parts of the song, but luckily we were able to use it later on and get right. It out there.
Well, that buzzy slide sound is nice. Here is a filter. Washed out and reverb and various effects. And I love this backward section coming up right here is really cool. And it's gonna die down in 2 seconds. Tons and tons of just weird sampled things that I don't even know where I got it from, but this part right here reminds me of freaking of a like an Evel Knievel wind up toy for the motorcycle. And again, this is all I was using Adobe Audition. Totally just messing up the sounds and having fun. And then it goes to the song Wally from our Mutants from Mars album, which never came out, but recordings were 1990 to 91.
Well, this video was released at some point, right?
Yeah, well, oh, yeah, that's true. The video was actually on Agony Through Ceremony, the DVD portion. So, right here, this is all pretty much just straightforward. I actually want to say this is a cassette copy that I did this on.
Really?
Yeah. Yep, it was. And then, when I manipulated the second half and everything, and then Mike heard it, because some of the things we were worried about, like, well, if it's off cassette, is it going to sound like too lo-fi? But then I think going through the whole, like, side one and side two, a lot of equalization, kind of. I think I balanced out a lot of that, like lo-fi versus very good stereo recordings, to an actual, you know, a cohesive piece.
Yeah, nothing jumps out at me as sounding
right
lo-fi, and this is featuring one of our many early Casio keyboards.
Oh, here it comes right here. This is the part I was talking about where Mike was at work going, whoa!
Yeah, this is psychotic. We'll shut up so you can listen.
This part always reminds me of the Little Rascals when they're like that funhouse ride. Mm-hmm. Classic. This is cool. And it was a two-track thing to it, so it wasn't like a multi-track thing where it's like I was so happy with the results and then I slowed it down to nothing. You hear every little pop and click and kapaw, kapaw. And then it goes into one of my favorite sections we've ever written, ever.
Now, this wasn't something I was too keen on, but I know how much Sean liked it, so we put it on here.
I can't help it. I remember we recorded this. I have to say it was probably the tail end of 96 to 97. We recorded this, and it just totally blew me away, because I loved the direction we were going in, but then we used that, we had a realistic sampler. That was my toe.
That was good. Get blind Melon Chitlin in here.
We had a realistic sampler that I got Mike, And we took these sounds, and of course it's very lo-fi and everything, but I just thought the arrangement, or if you can call it an arrangement, it was almost like these random things, but to me it was like a mind journey. And I remember going to my friend Tim Griggs' house with a cassette copy of this, and we were all at the bars and all that stuff, and it was around like probably 4 or 5 in the morning, and I put this on, and a bunch of people just sat around listening to this and were like, wow, this is really, really cool. It was fun.
You must have been drunk.
But no, it was just, I don't know, there's something about this track. So it was almost going to be a thing where we weren't even going to use it because, again, I had a 2-track copy on cassette that was, it was just so noisy, and there were certain little elements we didn't want to use where it was like too Star Trek. Remember the little drum machine thing and all that stuff? Yeah. So we weren't going to use that, but then when we went back to the master tapes, or the master, you know, what was on DAT? Archived on DAT.
Yep.
So when we went back to that, some of the parts were so noisy, I remember. It was almost like, I don't think this is going to happen. But then my main man, Mike, over here, Ekum, he figured it all out, and we got some new mixes, and I was just so happy to see this on a release. Because I love it.
I still hear some Star Trek elements in there.
Yeah, but okay, here's the... Yeah. But that's when we had the drum machine coming in. And,
no, that,
and,
that didn't fit.
Yeah. But I remember recording this at 6 Feet Under Studios. And I just remember being so jazzed up. I was like, wow, this is really cool. It's so freeform, but with a structure. It's like, there's no beat or anything, but it's also a thing where it's not like, it's just not us messing around in the studio. There's a certain arrangement, I guess you would say, in there.
Yeah, you got pieces, well, samples that are reoccurring throughout it.
Right. Getting it now, yeah. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. I remember getting the test pressing of this album once a guy named Stan Rickard actually did the mastering for it and everything. And one of my best pals in the world, Mr. David C. Doc Schneider, did the label design for it. And then we sent it in, and I got the test pressings on black vinyl. I'm like, oh, wow, this is cool. And I remember just, like, sitting down listening to this, and I'm just like, I was just blown away. I was like, wow.
That's like Warner Brothers 7 art.
Yeah.
Porky Pig cartoon.
The pseudo fake vinyl crackle distortion.
Yeah, I don't know why we did vinyl crackle on vinyl. It's already there, it's built in.
Oh, now here's a classic. Our dad, Mr. Mike Sr., wrote this track. Remember us all sitting around in your other studio.
Yeah, trying to fit with 3 guitars in there and the necks going every which way.
Yeah, clang, clang, coon, coon.
Trying to get around a microphone.
Boochie, boochie.
It's been so long since I've heard it in this context, because I'm used to hearing what, you know, we talked about those standalone pieces when you did the edit there. I don't think the intro wasn't in there, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I love the whole track. It's great. It's fun, and the outro is cool too. A lot of the different bits, the Mellotron and everything.
Mellotron, gotta love the Mellotron. Boom. Was it your fretless?
Yep.
Yeah. That's great.
Now, you played drums on this one.
Yes.
And with your unusual technique, doing the drums first didn't work this time around, so I'll give you credit.
No, I remember that the first time that we actually did drums... Alright, put it this way. It's like, normally, whenever I would actually record like a four-track demo or whatever, it's almost like I had this like really unusual way of recording the drums first and then building the track around that. Then I would go back and actually record guitars or keyboards or whatever. So I think the first one we did was with Silence and Sunshine. That was the first time I think I played with a click track.
Right. We kind of married two songs that my father wrote. The first part, I guess you call the verse, was something that was fairly new at the time. And then this part was something I remember finding on a cassette that he had was playing with his cousin years and years ago when I was, you know, very young. And the tape survived, and I always liked that music and wanted to work it into something. So we kind of married those two pieces together. And this is, I think, one of my favorite things on the album.
You know what? I don't think I was part of that whole thing. Like, were you? Did you work with Dad?
I told him what I wanted to do, and then I just kind of worked it up. And I think I showed you guys when you came down what chords we settled with when we were doing the acoustic tracking.
All right, so I'm not gonna be I'm not gonna be a big-headed loser or egotistical jerk or anything. But this, I gotta say, I think this is my favorite guitar solo I've ever done.
Right here, this is my favorite part. Then the screaming note.
A lot of people I've showed this to says it has. They say, like, you know, it's very reminiscent of like a David Gilmour, like the singy, songy notes and stuff like that. And I mean, obviously David Gilmour is not like a big speed freak or nothing like that. But it's just I see it. Because I do love Pink Floyd. Like this right here. That's classic Pink Floyd.
Yeah. Again,
that's classic Iron Maiden.
The haunting Mellotron in the background. Mm. I like the bass guitar drum accent right there.
I just remember being so happy with this track. And yes, that whole Mellotron like backing synth pad sound is just so good. Here's my Ode to Ace Frehley. The old slide.
Here, this I love this.
This
part.
Whole section, I didn't record this. I think you did the whole thing, and it was just to me it was like breathtaking. It was so good. It's like a classical pseudo arrangement, but it's they get that Mellotron sound.
That's the thing. I just really love the Mellotron sounds.
That's great. This is quite an album, I have to say. I think you played this whole thing, right?
Yep.
Yep. It's awesome.
I was just, just trying some ideas, and I think I sent it back to you to say, can we fit these somewhere on the album? These are, you know, sections I think would be kind of cool to use, so you fit them in where they fit.
I think it's another thing that was like so much fun about this album. It was almost like just this blank canvas. It's like, okay, we have like 10,000 little snippets of stuff, so try to make an album. But it was like there was no set plan. It's like, okay, well, this has to go here. This has to go here. It was almost like just being creative and
the pieces around and
right,
see what worked.
Right. It was like the Scallions' version of Smile. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now here we have... This is where the jarring part of the album comes in, but I thought it was so cool because Brian Poole from Arnold and the Loaf, at this point, I consider him a really, really good friend, even though it's almost like he lives in England, so it's a lot of emails, but he's done a lot of things in our projects and everything, so I asked him to be part of this, and he came up with that crazy toy piano thing, and then Nolan Cook from the Residents band now added the guitar, like, just weird, crazy, wacky hits, and I thought it was pretty cool. I just thought it was a cool way to end the record.
Oh, definitely.
It's almost like that whole train thing with the dogs from Pet Sounds. I was just thinking that. Banana and Louie, you know. And here it comes. And that's our record. And I think it's a keeper.